The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here, and it's time to take productivity to another level. End the summer strong by upgrading your growing business to the latest tech. This new season begins with up to 48% off top performance laptops like Bostro, taking performance to the next level with 12th gen Intel Core processors. You'll also save big on monitors, docks, mice, and more must-have accessories. Plus, get free shipping on everything. It's the perfect time to get ahead with powerful tech designed to stay motivated throughout the year and encourage collaboration and innovation among your team. Now, at special prices for a limited time only. Summer might be gone, but it's just the beginning. What's next for you? Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to save up to 48% on our latest technology.
Trash time!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Trash talk!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Mike Singletary. Did you hear last year when Aaron Rodgers scored against the Bears, he told the fans, I own you?
I think if someone would have said that while we were playing, I would have thought something's wrong with this person.
Earlier on the show, host of ESPN's First Take, Stephen A. Smith. Host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio.
Still to come.
Actor Wyatt Russell. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is live on the air here on NBC Sports on Peacock, NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM Channel 85. For those of you listening on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, coast to coast, we say hello to all of you on our vast podcast system. We'd love to have you hit that subscribe button wherever podcasts are acquired. Please do that on the Cumulus Podcast Network is where our podcast is distributed. Also, where all podcasts can be acquired as well. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for anything that you may have missed. Mike Florio, hour number two. Stephen A. Smith called in as he was getting onto a plane to Boston, Massachusetts. The NBA Finals all knotted at one game apiece. Game number three is set for Boston on Wednesday night, so 2 days off, an extra travel day. It's a 2-2-1-1-1, so we're going to go back and forth between time zones and coasts because Boston is on the East Coast and San Francisco is on the West Coast, and the rest of the country, including Altoona, Pennsylvania, is in between.
That's how that works.
That's how we say hello to T.J. Jefferson here on the program. Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo is in their usual spots. We're mixing geography with sports and entertainment. The actor Wyatt Russell of the FX show Under the Banner of Heaven is going to come out here shortly. He played hockey. He tried to play some hockey professionally.
That's right. I remember that from last
time. We talked about that a little bit when he called in the last time for the terrific show, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. He's coming out here in just a few short minutes right now. So we're gonna do that hockey, to use that phrase. How about the New York Rangers?
I would say there's some hockey tonight, too.
How about
as
that?
They say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
That's right. The Rangers are putting the scare in the Lightning right now.
Well, the Lightning bounced back, Rich. The Lightning won game three, so it's 2-1.
Exactly right. By the way, you know if it goes seven games, game seven is slated for Madison Square Garden on the same night that Justin Bieber is slated to have a concert?
At Madison Square Garden?
So Dolan, they double
booked. I guess they figured that the idiot. Eastern Conference Finals, the Rangers, I don't.
You just got to always plan.
I don't know. They double booked.
Is Bieber going to do like the between period like show?
I don't know. Maybe Bieber could just do a couple songs from the Zamboni?
Yeah. Drive it around.
I think that'd be hilarious.
So we got to root for that series to go full seven.
He's going to play the Felt Four.
Just to make Dolan not much more uncomfortable. That would be great.
I'll tell you what series is probably not going seven, Rich.
It's Colorado
and Edmonton. We got a closeout game tonight in Edmonton.
Man, the Avs are just killing
it,
right?
Good. They're the favorite to win the cup right now.
So that's our part of our hockey conversation. We'll have more with Wyatt Russell in a moment. It's top of hour number three. So much going on in the world of sports. So it's time for Chris Brockman News. Chris, you've been very busy today. We already did an overreaction Monday that was top notch. We actually even recycled a what's more likely question from last week. We asked it of Mike Florio.
Well, we got a completely different answer.
Well, I mean, you know, it's his prerogative to answer it however he wishes. That's, you know, true. I'm forced to give you one or the other.
Well, I make you
when
decide.
When that's the construct. That's the box I'm put in for what's more likely. You asked last Friday, what's more likely? Tua Tagovailoa, who's had 33 total touchdowns in his career so far.
Yeah.
Injury marred. And also he didn't start week one of his rookie season.
True.
He's had 33 of those. You asked, will he have, what's more likely? He has 30 combined total touchdowns for the 2022 season. Or he struggles and Tom Brady is the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins in 2023. And Mike Florio said, well, it's either, I'll go with either Brady or Lamar Jackson.
Whoa.
And we're like, okay, hold the phone, which he was in fact doing at the time when he said it. So that was good. If you missed any of that, again, check out our Twitter feed at Rich Eisen Show. And then, of course, YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show, our YouTube page. Please hit the subscribe button and be part of the now 422,000 subscribers and growing. Chris Brockman's news update right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hit it.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever,
it's Chris Brockman.
Hi, Christopher, what do you have over there, please?
You know, little known fact, I'm typing on that...
typewriter?
That typewriter in that video, exactly what Tom Brokaw said.
Okay, good.
Yeah. In case you wanted to know what was written.
Okay.
People thought maybe it was just
thanks
a bunch
for that
of words.
Sausage making update, Chris.
Hey,
what else you got?
For the third time today, the 49ers have excused Jimmy Garoppolo from this week's minicamp. Jimmy G, of course, rehabbing shoulder surgery away from the facility as the Niners explore trade options that will continue.
Yeah, they don't need him around there. Why do they need him around there when it's Trey Lance's job? Why do they need to have him even hanging out there when it's Trey Lance's job? If Trey Lance has taken every first team snap, why do you need Jimmy Garoppolo there, right?
Well, what if Trey,
Jimmy could be there for support, team support, right? Unless they have no intention of having Jimmy Garoppolo on this team. Yeah. So they're excusing him from just hanging out.
He can't even come and hang out? He's still on the team. He's getting paid.
He can. They just told him you don't have to.
He's too busy
for a reason, with
Subway commercials.
People, it's Trey Lance's gig, okay? That is the writing on the wall. That is what everybody within the walls of San Francisco 49ers front office, they believe. I'm telling you, this is what's happening. Because right. Again, if it was possible for him to need to be there to get ready for the season just in case Lance isn't ready. Isn't that the conversation that we've heard from other observers?
Oh, yeah.
Lance may not be ready, so Jimmy Garoppolo could be there. If he's not traded, it'd be good to have him there, right? I mean, it would be absolutely understandable to have him there, right? Guy's hurt. He's rehabbing. They basically tell him, you don't have to come. For a reason. It's Lance's gig, folks. Now, what about Debo? Is Debo showing up today?
Well,
or what?
Well,
mandatory minicamp starts tomorrow.
They moved it up.
They moved
the Niners
it up.
Moved up mandatory minicamp to tomorrow through the 9th.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't look like Debo's not expected to be on the field for practices.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, you know, up in the air if he's going to show up at all or he's going to risk
in.
Being fine.
He's going to hold in.
Debo, however, did show up to the Warriors game last night. And Kyle Shanahan, they're both in the building. Do you think they ran into each other?
In the men's room?
I
don't know. Who had better seats?
Would it be awkward?
Who had better seats? Who had shoulder?
Can't find that out. I don't know. I haven't looked. People were just tweeting how they were both at the game last night.
I'm sure it's fine. Guys, he's going to play for the 49ers. He'll be there. They're going to pay him. I don't know what's going on.
Ooh, looks like Kyle Shanahan was right behind the Warriors bench.
Oh, see, there you go. And where was Debo?
I don't know. I think Kyle had better seats.
Draymond was resting his feet on him?
Here's a question.
Yeah.
On a side note.
Oh, Mike. Mike
Del
Tufo is
close
here.
Close up
yeah.
or box? What's more shoulder? See, I.
Oh, sweet. I mean,
sweet, right?
Right.
A basketball game?
Yeah.
No, right. You want feet on the floor. Feet you on the hardwood.
Oh, I.
That's more of a flex.
Mike's a sweet guy.
Well, okay. As someone who's recently had
guy.
Feet on the wood and in the sweat.
Ashton?
No, not Ashton. It's Double A. My boy Double A hooked this up. I'd say, man, being on the floor is nice, But you got a suite. You get more people in the suite. You can kind of move around.
Dessert cart.
Well, we'll talk about dessert cart.
Third quarter dessert cart.
Yeah, I think
top notch. Yeah. Second to none.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So I kind of feel like, you know, you're up in the suite. You got the TVs. You can roam. You could talk.
We can hold this.
Excellent. By the way, guys, excellent coverage of last night's Warriors-Celtics game right there. Well done.
You get your own personal waiter.
Got a suite. Give me the suite.
What else?
All right, The Athletic is reporting that Cooper Kupp, you know, he wants a new deal. But he is going to attend minicamp despite ongoing contract talks. Cooper Kupp will be there as expected. Aaron Donald this week.
Okay, very good.
Signs pointing in the right direction.
So wait a minute. So McVay got married before mandatory minicamp?
Yeah, got married before.
Well, he has to.
So I guess it's a voluntary honeymoon? Is that what it is?
Well, you know, people...
Honeymoon's voluntary?
People don't leave for your honeymoon immediately after your wedding?
We got married Saturday night. Sunday we had a brunch.
And then you were off.
See ya.
Nah, people don't do that anymore, I don't think.
What are you talking about?
I think they schedule, you know, wait a little time.
He's right.
What are you talking about?
You schedule it. No.
Yeah, you schedule it. You don't leave the next day.
So you get married, and then you've got mandatory. So it's mandatory marriage.
Yes.
I guess that's voluntary.
Voluntary marriage.
Mandatory minicamp.
Well, unless the shotgun's involved, then it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Voluntary honeymoon. That's the schedule for Sean McVay? By the way, great coverage of the Cooper Kupp story.
I mean, what are we?
We're on it.
All right, TJ, here's another one for you. I'm going to broadside you again.
Oh, here we go.
What's going on with the Cowboys?
You got to imagine Dalton Schultz is an important part of that number one ranked offense and scoring from last
gotta
year.
Got to have him. He's your tight end.
I got to say, my man is frustrated at the stalled long-term contract negotiations. Our buddy Tom Pelissero saying today that Schultz informed the team he is not going to attend the rest of voluntary OTAs until his situation is
resolved. There is less pie
because he signed his
$11 million franchise tender, but he wants a long term deal to keep him in Dallas after this season. You have until July 15th.
As you all know, franchise tags are either applied when the player does not have a problem with it, or slapped if they do. Apparently, this franchise tag has been slapped on Dalton Schultz.
Dalton Schultz, Will Smith style.
Slap that.
Dude, I'm telling you, number three on the items that I've talked myself into is the Cowboys have taken a step back.
But are you forgetting that we also have Blake Jarwin? We have two tight ends.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Blake Jarwin. So Blake's getting all the first team reps.
Blake Jarwin, who had 70 catches and 8 touchdowns last year.
Come on.
So
you're not concerned about this at all?
Not the tight end position.
No, okay.
Not when we have two tight ends.
Okay.
So
get your damn act together.
You give me another position, yeah, I'd be worried about it. I'm not stressing that one.
How about wide receiver? Your best wide receiver is on the Cleveland Browns?
No, our best wide receiver.
The other best wide receiver is hurt.
Two of the three best that we had are still on the team.
More touchdowns this year, Ja'Marr Chase or CeeDee Lamb?
Where does he come into play for this?
Well, more touchdowns this year, Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb?
What, again, does
more
any of this?
More touchdowns this year, Stephon Diggs or CeeDee Lamb?
How about Amari Cooper?
This isn't even apples to oranges.
More touchdowns this year, I'll take CeeDee Lamb over Amari Cooper.
This is like pineapple pizza to a falafel. Like, these two things don't even...
What are we talking about?
Yeah, that's my question. Why? You went from talking Dallas receivers to now every other receiver in the league against CeeDee Lamb.
Exactly, because you're saying that the Cowboys haven't taken a step back and that CeeDee Lamb's going to take a step forward.
That wasn't how the conversation, like, that wasn't what we were talking about, but sure. Okay.
Hey, the Broncos are going to have a new owner. Looks like it's going to be Rob Walton, barring, you know, another outrageous bid.
Yeah, but can he afford it? Can he afford it?
The rich keep getting
richer. Can he afford it?
Well, we looked it up.
Did the Waltons get a HELOC to close it?
Mike and I looked this up this morning.
Get a home equity loan or close it?
Rob Walton worth $58.8 billion. Okay,
he can afford it.
He can break off something proper.
So he can snap off the $4.5 bill and his seat cushions to buy the Broncos. Mike Clisto, our buddy.
Wait a minute. You just sprayed his tea over there.
I just said something dumb. Break him off something proper like. Rich Eisen dropping hip hop. Like, I mean, it's been going on since the 90s.
Exactly.
Let's be honest.
I had a front row seat to all of them.
You took a little bit of a break for a few decades.
Off something.
That's what's up.
Our buddy Mike Kliss in Denver reporting that all four bidders for the Broncos, I would assume including Rob Walton.
Is that what you're going
to
say?
I have spoken to Peyton Manning to gauge his interest in joining their ownership group as a minority partner or advisor.
Oh. And? So he's having an auction of his own?
It seems like it.
So there's a big auction.
There's the big
auction. There's a big auction. Big. And then a mini auction.
And then, you know,
an Omaha auction.
Can Peyton still do Manning Cast if he's a minority owner of a team?
An Omaha auction.
I think so.
Omaha auction.
Omaha auction.
Yes, he can.
He can?
Yeah. That, like what?
So what happens when the Broncos get a Monday night game?
No, then they just take that day off.
No, you don't take the day. They don't have to take it off.
He's not going to be objective that day,
dude. Do you sit there and watch the Manning Cast thinking, "Oh, Peyton's got an agenda"? Seriously,
yeah, but this is different, though.
It's just, he's talking about slapping Jeff Saturday on the ass, and you're sitting there going, "Well, no, wait a minute. I don't know if I really believe what he's saying because he does own a piece of the Broncos, which we would understand. Of course, we understand.
I'm just giving you what the people on social media are going to say.
Well, then you could clap back.
Oh, thank you. You're giving me permission.
I'm giving you permission to clap back.
Hey, LeBron's been pretty active tweeting during out there in the NBA playoffs.
He's got nothing else to do.
He's got nothing else to do. He wasn't playing basketball. He tweeted out this yesterday, and whew, man, jumping on someone's podcast soon, maybe my own?
Oh.
Would you be interested in a LeBron James podcast?
The podcast.
LeBron James.
See, I like to read between the lines.
This is the RES consultant. LeBron, we're on it. Hey, LeBron, I understand you have your own people.
LeBroadcast.
Let us handle it.
Yeah, this is what we do.
He's a billionaire now. It's no big deal.
LeBroadcast.
No.
LeBroadcast.
Mike, you keep saying it wrong.
I said LeBroadcast first.
You're saying LeBroadcast.
No, I said LeBroadcast first.
LeBron James. Right?
LeBron James. There you go. That's it.
Okay.
It's got to be Strive for Greatness podcast. That's kind of his slogan. It's the
guys. It's clearly going to be called A Kid from Akron podcast.
Well, that wouldn't be bad.
I know. I just make that up.
we just know it won't drop on Tuesdays. For tacos.
Taco Tuesday.
So it does look like maybe my own, huh?
Maybe my own. That's, and then he did the
See, Chris, I ran into that. Unless if someone doesn't bring me on their podcast, I'll just start my own. So. Rich Eisen Hoops basketball podcast. We'd love to have LeBron.
LeBron would immediately, it's just another thing. He's working on his second billion. You know? LePod James on the LePodcast. What is it?
I'm going to go Strive for Greatness, but TJ, like yours, kid from Akron.
I've just been told that the announcement is coming. And Jim Gray is hosting the announcement.
They're going to wear that terrible shirt like last time.
Jim Gray is going to, LeBron will announce which podcast he's
53 minutes into.
It's either his own or
a bunch of other people
or somebody else's podcast, and it's going to be announced in 58 minutes
in. Oh, it's 58. I thought it was 53.
He is going to announce which one it's going to be.
That tweet got almost 100,000 likes.
I'm going to take my talents to the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast.
I mean, it's honestly whatever he wants to do. He probably saw what Conan just sold his podcast company for, right?
Simmons, like all these guys. Rogan, obviously. And as expected, Quinn Snyder is planning to step down.
Oh, really?
Head coach of the Utah Jazz.
Huh.
After 8 seasons.
Take some time. Who said that the other day? Was that Windhorst who mentioned the other day that you might take some time
maybe
off?
He could take a 1 year off, recharge. And he feels, you know, according to Woj, that time for a new voice in Utah. They haven't quite been able to get over the hump there.
Okay. That's a pretty good plum position right there. They don't churn through too many coaches there.
They do not. Oh, and Darvin Ham is hired an assistant coach, according to Shams. Rasheed Wallace is going to be on the Lakers bench.
Ball don't lie.
We talked about that with Stephen A. earlier on in the program, so check that one out on our YouTube page.
And Mike D'Antoni is going to meet with Michael Jordan this week to talk about the Hornets coaching.
Mike D'Antoni.
Think LaMelo would shine under Mike D'Antoni?
I kind of like the Darvin Ham thing where you like all these old recycled regurgitated. Let's get some new younger coaches in there. Maybe different point of views. I'm kind of into that.
I don't know. You never know. You can catch the Tory Lightning. What, the Mike Keenan? Remember him?
Mike Keenan.
Or you can catch the Sean McVay Lightning.
That's the one. That's the best Lightning of all. All right, let's take a break. Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Wyatt Russell is here in studio. Can't wait to chat with him. He's been on the phone before, but we get to shake his hand and chat with him face to face when we come back. Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day. Wyatt Russell here on the Rich Eisen Show under the banner of Heaven, and this FX show that's now available for streaming on Hulu. Andrew Garfield and you in this program, Sam Worthington as well, Daisy Edgar Jones. I see the billboards all over this town fort. So when you say that you're glad it's over, you had to go anywhere pretty much for this role
Andrew, everybody's awesome. Andrew Garfield, as incredible of an actor as he is, he's also that great of a person.
Yes.
And he's just the best. Sam, same thing, great guy, great to work with. Daisy, that made it fun, that made it okay to go. And after I had to do some of the stuff I had to do, I'd come home from work and just forget about the day, hopefully turn on hockey or football. We're filming this past winter, and just forget about it, and that made it a lot easier. But it was had to do some stuff and be a certain way that just leaves a bad taste in your mouth after the day is over.
Mm-hmm.
Sports was what totally just ended the day, it reset it for me.
And so that helps out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Be huge.
And again, that's on available for streaming on Hulu right here, starting right now. All episodes of Under the Banner of Heaven, Wyatt Russell here on The Rich Eisen Show. So you're a longtime hockey player, correct? So is this the playoff beard that you got working right now?
This is just my attempt at making my wife annoyed and then her being like, I don't know, I kind of like it. And I was like, all right, well, I'll keep it.
Because it's a very Lebowski type look you've got going on right here. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Is that a,
you're right, it is.
Got that going.
I know. I was the Big Lebowski for Halloween in college one year.
Were you?
Of course. I mean, everybody felt like at some point was the Big Lebowski, was the dude at some point in college. And I had a white Russian in a robe and I did the whole thing. And it was a hit. I was I always make the joke that I look more like Jeff Bridges than I was like my dad. Sometimes, and so
have a real Jeff Bridges Lebowski look about you right now.
I know. That's a compliment. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I couldn't ever. The reason I grew a beard is because I was 18. No, I was 17.
Yeah.
18. I was going to be the captain of my hockey team, and or one of the captains, one of the leaders of the team, and I had a baby face. No one would, respect me, I thought. So I was I'm going to grow a beard. I'm going to really try and grow a beard. So I grew a beard.
Yeah.
I put Just for Men in it to color it brown. And then went out and then shaved the rest. I was okay, the beard's not really, but maybe I'll do a handlebar mustache. And then so I shaved into this horrible handlebar mustache. So it was peach fuzz handlebar with, Just for Men. But it kind of worked.
It did.
It was I don't know. I was just, maybe it's totally psychosomatic and completely born from insecurity. But then I never didn't have a beard because it was people, think I'm wise.
But why? Why do you go JFM is for people my age?
Because you couldn't see it unless I put Just for Men in there. You couldn't see the beard.
Funny thing is one year when I was on SportsCenter. Back in the late 90s, they didn't want their anchors to wear facial hair. I went on vacation and I didn't shave. So I came back and I shaved it into a goatee. But my problem was, Wyatt, is that my mustache and the beard wouldn't connect. So I had to draw it in.
Oh, wow. Yes. You did.
And then you went for it. And then I got back to my desk after the Sports Center, and I got a few voicemails from fans and people that I know saying, why did you go on the air with S all over your face?
Funny.
And that was the end of my goatee. I had one and done facial hair of Sports Center. That was the end of that.
Dig that up.
So I can totally understand that. What you were a goalie? Is that what you were?
I was a goalie.
So why did you need facial hair with the mask on? I don't understand.
It was for my own team. For my own
respect within the locker room.
I was young.
Okay.
When you're playing junior hockey, you play, there's 15 to 21.
Okay.
Depending on who's like aging out. So like when you're that 17, 16, 17 year old to 21 age gap is a really big age gap.
Okay.
You know, there's the 21 year olds are men.
And okay.
Me as a 17 year old was still a boy.
Right.
So you had to be able to, you know, like, I don't know, I find some sort of edge to be able to get the respect of some of your teammates or the younger guys. I don't know. It was a stupid thing to do, but it seemed to help me. And we had a great season and finished second in Canada. So it worked.
Wow. So what was more realistic for hockey? You with the Just for Men beard within your locker room or your dad is Herb Brooks?
What was more realistic?
Yes.
My dad is Herb Brooks.
My
dad is Herb Brooks was a really interesting thing because they want they filmed it in Vancouver when I was playing junior hockey there. So they would come to sometimes after games, like in Abbotsford, we had a game and they were shooting there after we'd play. So there was the crew was there and whatever. And watching our games, some of the players, one of the players from our team left to go be like a extra in, you know, the movie
for a Russian or something like that.
Yeah,
or something
like team, like, you know, Sweden,
Finland or for the Finns
to like fill out the other teams. So, and they wanted me to go to be one of the goalies to help out. You couldn't do it unless you quit the team. So it was like, there's no way that's going to happen. But the director, Gavin, and my goalie coach, Paul, and my dad all, you know, did a really great job of basically saying, if you haven't played college hockey,
yes,
don't come out for the tryout. Like, if you haven't played college hockey, don't.
Try out for the movie you're talking about.
Try out for the movie.
Okay.
So they started at a point, which I think every movie should start with, a sports movie, but specifically hockey. If you can't play, you're not going to be, no matter how great of an actor you are, don't worry, you're not going to make it. So all those players in the movie could really play. Like, they were real, really good hockey players, all of them, for the most part, I think, everyone. And so the realistic aspect you feel in that movie is because they're all hockey players. All of them.
Right.
They all played either professional hockey or Division I college hockey. And so realism in that movie is like very high. And my dad was a professional sport, the athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Gavin would come to our practices and games. And, you know, they really understood the sport. Like, it wasn't just people trying to go make a movie because they thought it was fun and cool and Disney. It was like they really, really got it right.
Well, I mean, the movie's spectacular. Hold on a minute. So Wyatt Russell is between the pipes in this barn in Canada.
And it was a barn.
Playing
an
actual
Abbey
hockey game.
Yeah.
Professional hockey game.
Junior
hockey game.
Yeah.
Okay. So Wyatt Russell's in between the pipes in this barn in a junior hockey game. Mm-hmm. After which Kurt Russell would get on that same ice as Herb Brooks to shoot the movie Miracle.
Yes. That didn't happen every night.
But that happened
a couple times. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it was kind of fun, kind of weird. I know.
What are the odds, right? I mean,
I know. That was part of him doing the movie. I think was that I was playing a lot of I was living in Vancouver playing hockey, and so that when they said, "Well, do the movie," you know, "Do you want to do this movie?" It was going to be done in Vancouver, and that was part of what was cool. And so he actually trained. He couldn't skate very well. He just needed to skate like a coach, you know? So he would come out while we were practicing on Saturdays at Great Pacific Forum, GPF, my goalie coach, a couple other goalies. We practiced like 7 a.m. on Saturday, just goalie practice.
Yes.
And he would come out and skate around and, like, you know, we'd kind of like be like, no, when you make a tight turn, like, you got to make a tight turn, just a quick little tight turn. You got to make it look like it's nothing, you know, and feed somebody a puck, like, you know, nonchalantly. So he was working on stuff like that while I was actually practicing, like my real.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That had to be great for you, right?
Much fun. Cause he was very involved in my hockey as a, you know, he was with sports mentally. Like, he played professional baseball. Whole family played pro ball.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He played for the Angels and the Padres. My dad's an unbelievable athlete. My cousin, Matt Franco, he played for the Cubs and the Mets and the Matt,
of course.
And he's
your cousin.
Yeah, he's my cousin. Greatest dude in the world. My cousin Franzi has like NCAA soccer records. My aunt Jill was the first, I think, one of the first women ever asked to race IndyCar.
Uh-huh.
You know, they have IndyCar, or they have racing world championships and stuff. And they're a big sports family. Everybody loves sports.
Right.
And had success in athletics. So I was supposed to be a baseball player. I'm much more genetically inclined to play baseball than I am hockey. I just didn't like hockey quite baseball quite as much. It didn't fit my personality quite as much as hockey did. So I went that direction and had a lot of success and built, you know, made me totally who I am. Still some of my best friends in the world from when I played hockey and keep in touch with a lot of the guys and got really cool thing was able to do. When at first I was like, this is going to suck. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to get destroyed.
What's that?
Cam Talbot was playing in the All-Star game. Cam and I were goalie partners in University of Alabama in Huntsville. And, you know, I haven't seen him in a while and I've been following his career. It's so awesome to see how unbelievably great his career has been. Mm-hmm. And they asked me to come do this like celebrity goalie thing against Trevor Zegras. Mm-hmm. I'm the goalie I don't know if you guys remember the Zegras play with one hand at the All-Star game. It went like viral.
Yeah.
It was an insane, it's unbelievable what that guy can do with the puck.
Yeah.
And so I got, like, I'm the guy in net. I was like a celebrity goalie. So I got to go do that and be on the same ice as Cam again. And say
so you're
that.
Like the Washington General to his Globetrotter, yes. Right?
Exactly.
There.
Even so much so, I'm going to blow him up right now. But even so much so that in the 3 hours before.
There he is.
They had a couple of guys trying to figure out what he's going to do and, you know, how's he going to. And he was like, you got to let me score. I'm like, you're an NHL all-star. I played hockey 14 years ago wearing all of Bill Ranford's gear because he was my goalie coach. I called Bill and I was like, I don't have any gear. Can you lend me gear? So he was like, yeah. So I'm wearing all Bill Ranford's gear in that picture.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Wyatt Russell here on the Rich Eisen Show. So you sat down and you were in the green room hearing us talk about the Broncos. So did you grow up here in L.A.?
They didn't have a team.
Right.
So Broncos were my team because we grew up in between here and Colorado.
Okay. So when you were in Colorado, was LA?
John Elway. Yeah. 98, 99. That was around the time I was 12. You know, I was like, oh, the Broncos are my team, you know. So
winning championships, Terrell Davis. And,
yeah,
you
it was,
know,
they were awesome. And then they went through a time period of just like, you know, it was a hellscape. You're like, it was an awful, desolate, you know,
right.
A horrible time.
Until Peyton Manning arrives.
This is my big hot take that everyone always laughs at me for.
Wyatt Russell hot take, everybody.
Here we go.
Get the sizzle ready.
I've said it before, so it's not new.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Without Tim Tebow, the Broncos do not have a winning team the next season. They don't have it.
Okay.
Because, and here's why I wholeheartedly believe after playing sports for a long time.
Yes, sir.
If you don't have a magic factor person on your team, somebody with a magic factor, All the great players have a magic factor about who they are as a human being.
Okay.
Right? All of them. Tim Tebow literally only had magic factor. He didn't have anything else, but his will to win was really contagious, obviously. And I know that feeling of someone who you might be laughing at in the locker room and being like, this guy's insane. Like, but we're winning and he's going to will us to win. And that energy, no matter how maybe annoying sometimes it is, it's the positivity of it is infectious. So they're going, you know, they were like 1-4 or whatever with Kyle Orton and somebody else was there. And
right.
It's like nobody who else, you know, they could have brought any mediocre quarterback in there. They would have done the same exact
thing.
Well,
they were literally down to no other options.
No other options.
Than going to Tim Tebow based on everything that happened. And I have been Wyatt Russell in that stadium when Tebow was starting and playing. And he was terrible for three quarters. It was against the Jets on a Thursday night football game. Terrible.
Terrible.
Against the Jets. Like, it looked like the ball was floating 5 feet over the head of Demaryius Thomas, may he rest in peace, right. Fluttering as if Tebow threw the ball with his feet.
Right.
As opposed to his hands. I have seen that. And then 6 minutes to go in the game, Tebow time. Hand to football gods was absolutely real. I saw it with my own two eyes. However, I need you to now make the connective tissue here, the turn that makes this a hot take that without him, there would have been no championship.
So
in
because
Denver.
You make the playoffs that year, which I think is attributed to the energy that Tim Tebow brought.
No doubt.
You as a football organization and a team feel like, and you win a playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They won.
In the first game of the new overtime rules where if you score a touchdown, right. It's done. And then there was one snap and done.
Right.
Yes, correct.
So I remember so well because I was like, oh my God, it happened.
It's unbelievable.
So when you get that as a player,
yes.
You feel like we can really win. Like we won with that guy.
Yes.
But you need somebody who's going to bring the energy of that guy as a human being, but also be able to deliver as an athlete. So, but because
Peyton Manning.
But because now Peyton Manning had walked into a locker room that wasn't 1-15.
Yes.
They had won a playoff game.
Correct.
And he is taking over a team that had some sense of what winning was like and how to shift energy and like, how to follow somebody who's a leader. And Tim Tebow, he's a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it his own way. So if you just had like Kyle Orton back, no offense to Kyle Orton, or the Kyle Ortons of the world.
By the way, I think
who are amazing athletes and quarterbacks.
You have to say that before you denigrate him.
Yeah, I know. By the way, I always say it about any professional athlete. I'm like, whenever anybody like me, like schmo like me talks about like a professional athlete, they're all unbelievable.
But you've been between the pipes with Justin.
Yeah, I felt what it feels like to win championships and do the whole and have to fight through things on small scales, but it's all relative in certain ways. And if you're aware of what's going on, then you can translate it to all other aspects of your life.
Right.
And, you know, the Kyle Ortons and the Jay Cutlers and all those people of the world are unbelievable, incredible athletes that everybody should wish that they want to be. But in order to be great in the NHL, if you want to be Connor McDavid or Peyton Manning or Russell Wilson or these guys, you have to be able to be something special in that category. That's a different thing. And we love to talk about it, and we're here because it's fun to talk about.
I hear you.
You know,
I got to tell you.
Yeah,
I could poke a hole or two in your theory.
I'd love to.
No, but you're kind enough to. All right, fine. Look, Elway watched all of that happen.
Right.
And I think Elway was thrilled. He was on the sideline when Demaryius Thomas ran 75 yards for that touchdown.
Right.
And he couldn't believe that they were, you know, had the now right to go to New England and get their asses handed to them. But deep down, that entire time, he knew Tebow was not sustainable.
For sure.
But Manning might not have gone to Denver had he not thought that they were ready to take another step.
Right.
And the fact that the next step was a divisional playoff game to win definitely might have made it more attractive to Peyton Manning.
And so what I'd say to you in following this line of questioning is...
Yes.
With another quarterback that was like Kyle Orton or Jay Cutler or pick a quarterback of that time that was like Baker Mayfield's kind of in that category right now. We're like, can he get over the hump? You know, he's unbelievable. He's so athletic. Like, would he have gotten them to that place? Or did you need like Tim Tebow, time, like shirts and things and bringing the Broncos back to it? It was incredible.
It was incredible. So I guess the last thing for you then is what's more believable as a football miracle, Tebow time or your mom and Wildcats? Which one is that?
As a football miracle?
Yes, a football miracle.
Wildcats is a good movie.
It is. I know
Wildcats.
By the way,
you know
it's
that
the sport of the king.
It's a good movie. Better than
that's a really
Rings.
Good movie.
I know. By the way, I'm
Woody Harrelson is in it. Wesley Snipes is in it.
Yeah. It's an excellent team.
I would say that honest Tebow time. Like, you know,
you love Tebow.
Tebow time is more of a miracle. But yeah.
Well,
you better put some respect on Molly McGrath's
name. We
didn't
talk about the hockey playoff.
Okay.
Well, okay.
You know, I know you don't have time.
What do you think is going to happen tonight? Does Edmonton get one?
Do you have to run out?
No.
Okay, let's take
a break.
No.
No.
I'm trying to make a wager playoffs. About tonight, and I want some insight.
Oh my God!
Oh really?
Hold on a minute. Do you want to give your insight, or do you want to, or do we hold off on that because we don't want to, I guess, reward his. No, your deviant behavior, clearly.
It's legal.
Okay, screw it. We'll take a break. Wyatt Russell, Under the Banner of Heaven. FX is Under the Banner of Heaven. Available on Hulu right now. Having too good of a time to say goodbye. Back with more in a moment. Junior hockey vet, now actor Wyatt Russell here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back here on our terrestrial radio outfit. All right, you said as we were going to break, I was going to send you on and the rest of your day, and you're like, we didn't even talk about the hockey playoffs.
I know.
So now we've got the runway to do it. Chris, you were actually thinking of gambling on tonight's Edmonton Oilers Avalanche game?
So is that really? It seems unlikely that the Avs just sweep through this whole playoff, right? So I'm thinking the Oilers get one tonight. And if they get one tonight, Connor McDavid has to score.
Yes.
So I'm thinking about a little parlay action right there. Ooh. Oilers to win with a McDavid goal.
I think that's actually a good bet. I'd bet that. Because I think that Connor McDavid is what is to hockey now what Wayne Gretzky was to hockey back then. If you're a hockey fan. Mm-hmm. And no, it's unbelievable what he can do. And I'd never really seen it because he plays for Edmonton and you don't really watch, you don't get like a lot of Edmonton hockey games here.
Right.
And so this playoffs, for the first time really watching him a lot, has been like seeing the best players in the world. They're all the best players in the world. They're all stars. Now we're down to like the best players in the NHL, mm-hmm. the best teams. He can make the entire ice have no idea what they're going to do next. Like no clue. He can shift directions at the same speed that he's going forward. Laterally, he can do things that nobody else can do and turns everybody else into like bantam hockey players. And I would bet that this dude does not want to go down tonight like this. He's a savant. He's a savant person. Like he's gonna do everything he can to make this.
The Avs have spanked him though.
Well, the only other player who's as incredible to me is Nathan MacKinnon. Nathan MacKinnon is the player who, if you have a kid and they play hockey, mm-hmm. or I had a kid or I was a coach, watch Nathan MacKinnon and do what he does. Like, play hockey like Nathan MacKinnon. You can't look at Connor McDavid and say, play hockey like Connor McDavid. It's mm-hmm. too alien. It's like that he's an alien from outer space. But Nathan MacKinnon, he can do things like that picture right there. Like,
yes.
Like, the way that he is, his forward momentum, the way he's square to the ice when he's look, his vision is unbelievable, is grit, everything about Nathan MacKinnon. Play like Nathan MacKinnon. Do everything you can to play like Nathan MacKinnon. You know, he's my favorite hockey player. So, you know, it's so much fun to watch this series because this one in particular, Rangers and Tampa's fun too. Tampa's the best coach team in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
John Cooper, you know, is the difference between a great coach and a good coach. He can truly, they have a plan, and they go execute the plan. And they don't know what the plan is. It's not just like, go get them, boys.
So who hoists the cup?
Colorado. They're unbelievable. Like, they're stacked. And MacKinnon is as driven as Connor McDavid to win it. He's been in the season, you know, he had that last year. It was like, I've been in this league for 6 or 9 seasons or whatever, and I've got nothing to show for it.
So when you, I'm just trying to do the age thing here. So when you were in Denver or you were spending time between Colorado and
I never played really hockey in Denver.
No, I'm just saying though, but if you were an Avs fan, that's the Patrick Waugh years.
Never an Avs fan.
Never.
Kings fan. Because Kings had hockey. Like Kings, I played for the Junior Kings. Okay. It was like everything. Right. Like Kings was literally right there. Like, right, and you could throw a baseball and hit where I practiced, like, for most of my life.
Okay. So, did you know Gretzky? Did that happen?
Yeah, I met him when we were younger. I also, you used to go on the ice in the middle of the, you know, the arena.
I'm sure you had some Hollywood privileges back in the day, right?
It was more the Junior Kings aspect. Oh, you'd go on the ice to like play in between the periods, and then like Rudy would be there. You got to see the games, like all that kind of stuff. You know, it was really fun. The Kings used to practice at where I started playing, which was Culver City. The rink's no longer, but like they had the worst facilities in professional sports. It was like it was the worst. You could stand on the boards and just sit like just stand there like this where the Zamboni door was.
Yeah.
And just glide down to the center dot. Like you wouldn't have to. It was all sloped and angled. Like it was the worst facility. So we got to meet some of the players that way and it was really fun. And you know, Gretzky, interesting thing, people always think Gretzky came and hockey exploded. Gretzky came, hockey explodes. People realize how expensive hockey is in Southern California. Land is super expensive. You have to travel everywhere to play hockey. cooling an ice rink is very expensive, so hockey is expensive here. Everybody realized how great street hockey and roller hockey was, and that went and ice hockey didn't move very much. It didn't actually like explode that way until later on when some of the Kings players, and we had some great coaching, a lot of the Russian people who had family here, when the wall fell, all those Russian coaches and people from the Eastern Bloc, they came over, defected, and they became coaches for these kids in California, and now California is I wouldn't call it a hockey hotbed.
Yes.
But there's a lot of players who are from California that play in the NHL, you know, a good amount, or they go play college hockey or professional hockey because we had amazing coaching during that time, like around 2000, 98, 99, 2000.
Well, it was the combination of Gretzky and Emilio Estevez, I think,
of course,
together, you know,
to combine
for the entirety of Southern California hockey boom.
Yes.
You know,
I can't believe I forgot Emilio.
You know, I just want to throw it out there. It's just, that's my hockey contribution, Wyatt. You know, that's my contribution. Good to have you here, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Under the Banner of Heaven, available now for streaming on Hulu. Make sure the kids are in bed when you start streaming that. Great to see you. You're welcome here anytime, sir.
Thanks. It was awesome. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Absolutely. Wyatt Russell here on the Rich Eisen Show. That'll wrap it up for this program. We will see you tomorrow. O'Shea Jackson Jr. and Michael Chiklis will be in the chair Wyatt currently occupies. No, you can stay there. They're not coming right now.
I'm like, I got to get out.
The dude! Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock to wrap things up.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.